Let me just look back here a minute. As far as review, we had talked, we had read 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8, until, let's see, only he who now letteth will let or restrain until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked, that wicked, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. And that's a whole lot of stuff going on there in one verse. Then, after what turns out to be Christ on earth, the body of Christ, is taken out of the way, or removed from the earth, they're called the catching up, then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. And that'll be the Lord's coming down all the way to earth, as described in Acts 1, verses 11 and 12, this same Jesus whom you've seen go up into heaven shall so come in like manner. Zechariah 12, verses 9 through 11, very vivid picture of what happens when Christ returns in Zechariah 12, 9 through 11. And also in 14, verses 1 through 5 in the same book, Zechariah. So this is Jesus Christ coming down and destroying that wicked. He's called that wicked. And he's also called in another place that man of sin that was revealed when the restrainer was taken out of the way. And we are restraining now. We are lights in the world as the body of Christ. But having viewed the scriptures about the gap in Israel's history, not some other gap, the scriptural gap in Israel's history, during this current dispensation of the grace of God that we're in now, we see that this gap in Israel's history ends when Christ returns to catch up the body of Christ. He returns to the air. And clouds are mentioned in respect with that, too, in connection with that too. But there's no tie. I mean, they're all breathing air too. But that doesn't mean it's the same event. But that's when Michael the archangel needs to start functioning for Israel on earth again. Therefore, the Lord brings him from heaven when he, Christ, comes to the air to catch us up. The Lord brings Michael, the archangel, with him. And there's nothing written about Michael, the archangel, going back to heaven with Christ and his body. Angels will again be functioning for Israel when Israel is again a peculiar treasure unto God above all people. Israel's history and their time clock and promise fulfillment all resume then, starting just into Daniel's 70th week. Although Michael comes down to earth to minister to Israel, there's nothing written about him or the other angels being expelled from heaven. That's their territory too. They have access to heaven and to earth from then on. Therefore, in Revelation 12, verse 7, when there is war in heaven, Michael and his angels are in the fight in heaven, too, besides on earth. And we'll review what happens when the Lord comes down to the air, not to the earth yet. He comes to the air and catches up into the air us in the body of Christ. And we'll read that in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, that term, the dead in Christ, is only used about people in the body of Christ, not about believers in Israel's kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom, or they'll be raised in the last time, according to Zechariah 14, verse 5. So Zechariah 14, verse 5. Then we, which, this is, actually this is verse 17 in 1 Thessalonians 4. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Very specific. In the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. In Paul's 1 Corinthians account of the catching up of the body of Christ, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 to 53, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." And that's different from the prophecies that God told Israel. Remember that Jesus told his earthly followers that in order for them to follow him, they had to take up their cross. The cross was that day's form of execution. Take up your electric chair or your lethal injection. Whatever form you want to think of it, firing squad. That's what he was saying. Those Israelites who heard that statement of Jesus, they had to die to enter the kingdom of heaven on earth. Mark 8:35. Let's check out that. Mark 8:35. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever..." Just a minute here. Okay, sorry about that. Hold on a second here. Mark 8:35. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." Now, it seems like a riddle, but it all fits the doctrine mentioned elsewhere too. Revelation 2:10. "Fear none of those things that which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Now, why does it say none of those things, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer? The only person that would fear them is somebody that doesn't trust and believe that he has to go. That's the entrance into the kingdom. His death is the entrance into the kingdom. He's going to be resurrected as an Israelite into the kingdom on earth. And that's not our lot, you know. I mean, we're not talking about us in the body of Christ now. Those that have believed the gospel that Paul preached, we go to be with the Lord in heaven, not wait for him to come to us on earth and rule in a kingdom here on earth. We're in his everlasting kingdom, his eternal kingdom in heaven. many had to go through death to get into Israel's promised kingdom that's coming out of heaven at that time. That was how they were to be born again. It was by dying and being born again into their kingdom of heaven on earth. So, I'm not talking about any kind of reincarnation or anything like that. It's just they had to be born. 1 Corinthians 15 explains that resurrection. They were initially born of the flesh, and then the second being born again is born of the Spirit. It's not born of the flesh again. They had to die to be born again. So it's not what Scripture says about us, the body of Christ. We do not all die to enter an earthly kingdom out of heaven. In the body of Christ, some will not go through death, but we shall all be changed. In Paul's 1 Thessalonians 4 catching up writing, he goes on with a final verse that just reinforces what he said as being different from the return of Christ to Israel to reign on earth. Regarding the body of Christ, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:18, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It's not words of destruction is coming, the bombs are falling. The Lord is coming back to smite destruction, the blood will be up to the horses' bridles, and nothing about that. It's, wherefore, comfort one another. Because we're going up above all this. The Lord is lifting us up, catching us up to be with Him in heaven, to forever be with the Lord, in our home eternal in the heavens. 2 Corinthians 5:1. Pardon me. In other words, Israel is the renaming of Jacob. It will be Jacob's trouble. It will not be the body of Christ's trouble, and not be our trouble. Earlier, we read in Daniel 12:1 that for Daniel's people, Israel, there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. Because of this, there is further, additionally, let me put it, there's further confirmation that the last day of the body of Christ on earth precedes the first day of the resumption of Israel's prophetic fulfillment, of their prophecies being fulfilled. We are in that gap now when Israel's prophecy doesn't, it stands still. It's on pause, on hold. It's like, when you get to the halftime in a football game, when you start, after all the halftime and activities and everything, you start the second half, it's exactly the next second after the first half. You've ticked down 30 minutes, and, when you start the second half, you start at 30 minutes and 1 second. I mean, there's no accounting for that halftime activity, and that's what we're in the dispensation of the grace of God right now. We're in a gap in Israel's history. We're not Israel. So that gap doesn't have any effect on us. So, Michael, the archangel, it says he stands up for Daniel's people, Israel. That resumes Israel's prophetic fulfillment. It's at or shortly after the time when Christ catches up the body of Christ in the air, as mentioned in Paul's writings only. In that tribulation, there will be some Israelites protected by God in the wilderness. God has been alternating. He's worked with Israel and through Israel in the past. Then when they rejected their Messiah and they blasphemed the Holy Ghost, God saved Saul of Tarsus and started the body of Christ. The body of Christ had been kept secret. Satan couldn't counter it. He didn't know anything about it. There had been no indication to him. Had he known it and had his minions known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. 1 Corinthians 2:8. But the body of Christ started with Paul's salvation and sealing. It exists now, and it's going on and will continue to go on until, there is an until about it, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Excuse me just a moment. When the last Gentile gets saved, the last one that's going to be saved, that ever will choose to believe the gospel that we're saved by today, it's called the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the uncircumcision, the gospel of the grace of God, all only given by Paul and Paul's fellow workers in the gospel of Christ. But when that last Gentile comes in, then the Lord catches up the body of Christ to meet the Lord in the air, and so will ever be with the Lord. But at that point, Christ leaves Michael the archangel, who came down with him into the air, the atmosphere, and all those angels that came with him, they begin functioning for Israel. Israel's prophetic fulfillment resumes where it left off at the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel, when Peter said, "This is that," in Acts 2:16. "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." Then Israel must go through the events of Jacob's trouble after the church, the body of Christ, and the light that we bring are gone. Israel goes through that Jacob's trouble revealed in the book of Revelation, having resumed prophecy fulfillment. Several events precede on schedule. They happen at the time that people, people that didn't realize that Israel had committed their unforgivable sin in Acts 7, at the end of Acts 7, they probably wondered, well, has God broken his promise, the 70 weeks, everything fits, going through, the 14 weeks of years and the building of the temple or the city, I forget which, whether it's the city or the temple, but it's specific as to which it is, the decree to rebuild. But they're wondering, what happened? The Messiah was to come in the 70th week. Where is he? Well, if Jesus wasn't him, then God failed. God failed with his prophecy. Jesus is the Messiah, and he was rejected. You look back in Old Testament prophecies, and you see the rejection. But who knew where it fit until it happened? Then, after a thousand-year reign of Christ, in Revelation 20, verses 1 to 6, the earth will be burned up. And that's prophesied in 2 Peter 3, verses 10 to 13. Then the holy city, New Jerusalem, descends out of heaven from God in Revelation 21, verses 1 to 10. Then we again find the light in Revelation 21, verses 22 to 26 or so. And in Revelation 22, verses 1 to 5. I can't remember. Let me look. Well, we'll get to that verse. I think that's the end of the chapter there. But let's look at Revelation 21, verses 22 to 26 now. Did I lose sound? Do I have sound? Do I have sound now? Can you hear me? Hello? Any sound? Okay, how about now? Okay, how about now? Any sound? Oops, no, that's not going to work that way. One. Oh, it came back? I was trying to crank up the other computer and see if we could finish the other part over there. But all right, let's go on. We're going to read Revelation 21, verses 22 through 26. And we'll, read it in parts. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. So there's light again. Following the light of the world, he's in heaven now, lighting. Well, lighting this temple, anyway. I think this is after the temple has come, after the new heaven and new earth have come down. So this would be on earth, actually, not in heaven. And verse 24, and the nations of them which are saved. Now, those saved ones are the people who endured the great tribulation, the millennium, the post-millennium uprising and the descending of the new heaven and the new earth. In other words, we will still have been caught up already before any of this happens to be with the Lord in the air. So the saved, oops. I don't know what's going on with this on and off. You think it's lag? There we go. Okay. But these saved ones are the saved of Israel, not the saved of the body of Christ. Okay. So, and regarding your question, 144,000, I wouldn't know. I think it probably includes them, but that's my opinion from having read it, you know, several times. And as far as I know, the 144,000 are in with the great multitude besides them. And has to do with the to jiggle the phone lines. It has to do with the white garments that they're given at that time, and the righteous acts of the saints, which are involved in Israel's salvation. They had to believe, and they had to exhibit their belief with works. That was what God called on them to do. And we're not called on that. We're called on to believe without works. Trying to add our works pollutes it, just like Israel trying to get to heaven by, or excuse me, they don't go to heaven, they go to the land. For Israel to try and get saved by the works of the law without faith. You know, Romans 9, 31 and 32 shows that that was where they erred. And also Romans 10, verse 8, they lacked the faith. Okay, well, let's go on through this then. However, prior to all that happening, these people that are going through the tribulation and the millennium and the uprising and the descending of the heaven, new heaven and new earth, prior to all that, before it, the church, which is Christ's body, will have been caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever, ever be with the Lord. You can see from the words used here that them which are saved in the text there in Revelation 21, verse 24, that's present tense to that verse, to when that occurs after the catching up of the body of Christ. It is not referring to those of us who have been saved to heaven before Israel's prophecy fulfillment resumed. It resumes in the beginning of Revelation there with the darkness of Jacob's trouble. And it's yet future from here, from this point. But let's go on with starting in verse 24 again, Revelation 21, 24. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. So you can see there, at that point, Israel will be the head and not the tail. The nations will be the tail. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. No night. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Again, Israel is the head. Going to chapter 22, and we'll be closing after these verses here, at least this lesson. Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit in every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. That would be those sheep nations that didn't go into destruction. The nations that were like sheep when he divided the sheep from the goat, sheep nations from the goat nations there in, I think it's Matthew 25, 24 or 25. Going on, verse 3 in Revelation 22, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So upon entering limitless eternity, the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So that ends the main part of the light, and we'll go into the three-part conclusion next time.